You know, we sang a new praise song and said, we need a move of God. I'm going to share with you a text today that will apply to every one of us this morning. So as you respond, you can come during the message, you can kneel, you can get right with God in that area that God, that the Spirit of God is saying, that's you. You can wait till after, you can sit, you can stand, you can kneel. But that's the way it looks when there's a move of God. You don't stay seated. You don't remain the same. I really appreciate Pastor Mark inviting me to preach to you all on this subject, renewal now. Because we know that the ears of the Lord aren't heavy that he cannot hear, nor his eyes blind that he cannot see, but he said through Isaiah, it's your sins that have separated between you and God, so that he will not hear you. We're going to look at a text where Jesus said, these are the sins that keep people from renewal. New Testament. The songs that we have sung just have been perfectly chosen, suit so well what we're going to speak to you about. Now, it's been a couple years, I think, that since I've spoken to the church, and it was 2 years ago that God led me on a secret mission to Pakistan, and we saw a disciple-making renewal begun, to where now, within 2 short years, there are 800 Discovery Bible studies being held throughout Pakistan in both reached and unreached groups, because those people were willing to change or to repent. Same things, what I mean. So this morning, I want the word. We've prayed. There's people praying for you all over. Not because you're notorious, but because if you sang these praise songs from your heart, you're ready. You even use the word desperate. You know, one of the greatest revivals that ever swept our nation began on Fulton Street in New York City by 3 praying businessmen meeting during their lunch hour. Soon after, there were thousands gathering throughout the city, and it spread from city to city. But it started with 3. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. I think the King James says perfect, but it means fully, wholly his. So I know what I'm preaching on today applies to every single person whoever hears the word of God. You will receive that word into a certain type of soil. of which there are four types, which Jesus said, and it's only the last, soil four, that brings renewal. Our text is found in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the seed and the sower. We will read what Jesus said, the parable itself, and then we will read the interpretation that Jesus, the Son of God, gave to the parable because it was so vital that you not miss it. As a matter of fact, he told his apostles right between giving the parable and then giving the interpretation of it, he says, unto you is given the secret things of God, but not unto them. So we have a secret from God that we're going to share with you today, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Mark chapter 4, we'll start verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, the main path, the traveling road, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Now, just think, 30, 60, 100, that's renewal. That's not just gathering enough boldness to witness to one person once a week. We're talking about a state of multiplication. And it all comes down to the condition of your heart today, as to whether or not God will send renewal today. You know, Jesus, towards the end of his life, approached Jerusalem, and he wept with these words, "How often did I desire to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You didn't want it. Behold, unto you is desolation." How often God desires what we hinder. Now that, we will all appear before God, brothers and sisters, to give an account of whether or not we hindered or helped the work that he has us here to do. All right, I want you to think of this. 10, 40, 40. All right, say it. 10, 40, 40. Now, I've just finished writing a book. Praise God, the publisher has accepted it, and it's on this subject. Today's global renewal, why not here? As some of you know, I work globally, and I've been in connection with disciple-making movements that sees 1,000 new baptized believers in one location in a short period of time, about 4 years. There are 2,000 plus of those movements being tracked scientifically, carefully, around the world. And in America, there's just over 30. Why there and not here? Why them and not us? I know of only 2 churches who have seen movements grow up in their midst. In America. Well, what about the other 30? You'll find them among immigrant groups and in prisons. A movement is at least 1,000 baptized. I could give you the title of a movie, Pardoned by Grace, that tells of the movement spreading in one Indiana prison. And this is happening, not just here, but all over. But for some reason, not through evangelical churches, either charismatic or non-charismatic. Because it doesn't matter if you sing a lot about the Holy Spirit. If these renewal-blocking sins are in your heart. So how did Jesus interpret it? 10:40:40. That is my estimate of the types of soil that are in every evangelical church in America. 10% soil 1. 40% soil 2, 40% soil 3, 10% soil 4. Now let me prove it. Because it's one thing to say we need a move of God. It's another thing to realize why you need it, why we need it. What is it that is hindering it? It isn't because God loves people more in Iran and Africa and Pakistan and the underground church in China than he does Americans. Jesus could not do many mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief. God in flesh is calling you to cooperate, to open your hearts, to say, now. Here's the interpretation. After the disciples gathered around Jesus and said, "Would you explain it to us? Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" You see, there's some central nature to this parable that opens the door to the secret of God working in this world. Working in Easton, flowing through its streets. Well, let's look at the 4 types very quickly. And we have sung and we have prayed that Satan would not be able to pick the seed that we're about to sow from your hearts. Verse 14, the farmer sows the word, the sower sows the word. So this is what happens every time the word of God is sown, is shared. It doesn't say the reverend. It doesn't say the ordained. It doesn't say the elders. Whoever shares the word. We're going to see just how, if you can capture this message, then what we just sang will transform your life and the lives of all those around you. If you know what the word is that you're to share. I speak Jesus. The word was made flesh. I speak Jesus. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Now, in an evangelical church like this, I say 10%. There may be none. There may be more. Just like this. Where the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now, you may not realize it, but the devil's in the church. He has more interest being here than he does in a bar. Because he knows he's already got many outside. And he knows it all depends how you hear the word. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Then you will be filled. But if this is just the Sunday morning thing, Matthew gives us the reason why the seed is snatched when he says, and they do not understand it. By understand in the word that's chosen there by the Lord, we would better recognize what that word means. It doesn't mean they don't intellectually grasp it. They don't want to stand under it. See, if you're understanding, two words, stand under, the closer you are to an object, the clearer it is. At a distance, it's not so clear. There are some people that want to keep the Bible at an arm's length. Oh, they love the community. They love the benefits. They love the church, but it's that pesky word that they're scared of or reject for whatever reason. Soil number one. Now you may be here. This may be your first time or it may be your fourth time. And you don't know quite what it was that brought you here. But you have not dared to get too close to the Bible or to those who would minister it as friends with you. Small group, prayer time, pastor's message. I can tell you this, abroad, when the word goes out, they gather it with jealousy and cherish it and write their thoughts down and write the revelation down because it is the word of God. Soil number one. Soil number two. Some people, others, verse 16, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, and at once receive it with joy. So we say, these are believers. They respond immediately with joy over the good news of the gospel. But now I am saying to you, not knowing you, and believing you may be even a bit above average, or maybe lots, but there's 40% probably of people here that are soil number two. Why? It says this. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Why? When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So I want to leave you here thinking this. Was there ever a time when I was compelled to share Jesus more than I do right now? You know, our culture is dead set against Jesus. Oh, they'll let you be spiritual. But you speak Jesus on the mountains and Jesus in the streets? You will receive pushback. You might be canceled out. And that matters more to you today than the souls of those around you. You're soil number two. This is why when Jesus gave the revelation to the church, the great church in Ephesus, he says, you're doing a lot of good stuff, but you've left your first love. Why? Would faith dawning be called first love? Because Jesus knew it. He was the beloved one. He's the one you couldn't forget. He's the one you had to tell your friends about. No matter how they push back. Because you knew something through Jesus had happened to you. And you wanted others to know. See, renewal can be stifled among a worshiping church that refuses to take the name of Jesus with them wherever they go. And there are many evangelical Christians who are the cause of today's iron dome over our churches that don't let the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate. Now, Jesus, don't blame me now. Jesus said this is what happens when you hear the word of God, the gospel. You don't dare share it. Soil number three. You know, sometimes they say to the preacher, kind of jokingly, you really stomped on my feet today. Friends, you could come one by one. And I'll stomp on you today. Because I've seen renewal abroad in a nation where there's only one and a half, where there's 97% Muslim. I've seen my translators, I've seen my bodyguards brutally beaten, homes burned, wives raped because they would not go back to Islam. And what did they choose to do? They wrote on their burned out churches, "We will not avenge your wickedness, but forgive you in Jesus' name." I know of one instance of a pastor who lost his church and his home, who wrote that on the side of the burned out church building. And within a year, 60 of the mob who had beaten and burned were attending Discovery Bible Studies because of the power of love and the free-flowing Holy Spirit of God. We know the scripture says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So as you go out, you're going to have to remember that just functioning in a popular manner in our culture is a betrayal of the Great Commission. The last will and testament of Jesus that we all say, "Oh, Lord, come, Lord, come." And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Soil number three. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. Here we go. Here's three renewal blocking sins. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I think I'm being kind when I say 40% of evangelicals are habitually overcome by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. What are the cares of this world? What exists here that's not going to exist in heaven? That tries to absorb your attention. Health concerns for ourselves and others till it becomes you're possessed by it. Family matters. You're not going to have a family in heaven, brethren. You're not going to be married in heaven. And you know, we live like, oh, you know, it's a better state here than there. Oh, you'll be married, but not to the one that you're married to now. Good or bad government or political issues. The cares of this world. Cultural matters that are drifting far away from biblical standards of morality. Issues about weather and environment. Concern for matters and places and people out of our context and control. I got I know more people that can't sleep at night because of Ukraine and China and Taiwan and Russia. Cares of this world, friends. Rising violence, selfishness, aimlessness, and revolution in the general public. You've got to remember the Roman Empire. Paul wrote most of his epistles when Nero was the Caesar. He was much worse than Xi Jinping. How about this? The security and safety of my home, my house. Or a question like this, how long will we live? Whether we're going to accomplish our goals? Or wondering if our lives right now really matter to anyone else? There's a few of the cares of this world that'll choke the power of the living word of God from flowing through you. Not maybe, it will. Jesus said it. Jesus put his finger on it. And then he says, the deceitfulness of riches. Now I know that if you were to study everything that Jesus said and you were to put them in topics, categorize them. How often did he speak about this and that? You would find that Jesus spoke more about money and possessions than any other thing. You can't walk by faith and have money matter that much to you. But we're taught that this is the American dream, to optimize our ability to create capital and make sure that we're well set for the future and that we're a fool if we don't. Well, you realize in Luke chapter 12, Jesus talked about a man who built barns because he didn't have enough money, enough places to put all of his assets. So he built them and said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And what did God call him? You fool. You know, in these towns across Delmarva, there have been mighty movements of God. We came through Preston and by Fraser's Chapel. And we know the story of Captain Fraser and Freeborn Garrison. And how when the Holy Spirit got a hold of them, slaves didn't matter anymore. It was souls that mattered. The third renewal blocking, the third here, renewal blocking sin. The desires for other things other than the word, other than others. If I was a yelling type, I would yell, stop stopping renewal through your desires for other things. in my book, I list some of these. Foods that we often overly indulge in, binge foods, regular drinking of alcohol, often to excess, obsession with porn, sex magazines or novels, smoking to excess, sports participation that is far too often and takes over your life. I'm not saying anything about going to watch the Shorebirds. As a matter of fact, the thing that came to my mind when the sister came up was this. I don't know, have you ever heard of the Savannah Bananas? If they ever play up here, go watch them, because then you'll get Baseball Plus. And if you've never heard of them, then Google it. Go to YouTube and Google Savannah Bananas. Any TV shows that you simply cannot miss and you schedule your life around? Monday night football, Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday NCAA football. I feel a little better now that it's not football season yet. But this can become an addictive desire that utterly chokes the word. Anything that leaves you depressed if you miss it. An unhealthy desire for honor, respect. The tendency to use verbal power or physical force to get your way. Obsession with having something done in a certain way, and an angry reaction if it's not done that way, as an individual, in the home, in church meetings, in politics. I really loved the way that you did your announcements. Now, I come from a background where if I would have heard that, where I was being raised, most of the people would vacate the building because they are convinced that it's not being done decently and in order. Of course, they've never researched revival and seen order go out the window. So Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not say no if you say yes. Solomon said, turn at my rebuke. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my word unto you. I guess that I'll give one other verse outside of the parable. Love not the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Some translations, it may be the NIV, translates it desire. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the mind, and the pride of life is not from God, it's from the world. And the world is passing away and all its desires. But he that does the will of God abides forever. All right, friends. It's been heavy. You feel guilty. But I want to take you to the remedy. because it doesn't take long. All it takes is a sincere heart to say, Father, forgive me. Maybe I'm the reason why real life has not yet birthed a movement here. Because I've grown ashamed of the name, and I don't speak it like I used to. Or the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the stock market, the IRA. We can be thankful that waitresses and waiters no longer have to pay taxes. And the desires for other things have strangled the word, and it's caught in our throat. But some then, we'll finish up here with going back to Mark 4, if you can bring that up. Others like seeds sown on good soil. Hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times fold. Of course, it is our goal to share with you. You can today start your path to soil 4. Might even turn the corner and become soil 4 today. But you gotta be willing to change. Concerning those sins that Jesus himself itemized. Peter in Acts 5:32 is speaking to the Sanhedrin, and he says, we are witnesses of these things that we're talking about. And so is the Holy Spirit. Put this down, 5:32. Acts 5:32. So is the Holy Spirit whom God gives to those who obey him. One step of obedience today may be all that it takes for you. For the Holy Spirit to come in and fill you. Jesus said, right, when he shouted at the feast in John 7, he that believes on me, rivers of living water will flow. And by this he meant the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, John said. We're all believers here, right? Where is the flow? The Holy Spirit is holy. He doesn't demand perfection to fill you and to flow through you. Why not today? Why not you? Why not now? Renewal. Now. We got more than 3 praying businessmen. God is willing. Are you? Let's pray, and the team can come up. Oh God, you have searched us and known us. You know our downsittings and our stand-ups. You know our thoughts from afar. And we've come to a Psalm 51 moment. Like Nathan told David, you are the man. You have told us today, I am the man. I am the woman. I am the teenager. Fill us. Come. Forgive us. Forgive us. We confess our sin. We turn from our sin. We say, Holy Spirit, there's no way that I can follow Jesus without your infilling love and power. Hear us. Fill us. And may our lives forever be changed so that wherever we go, we learn there's power in the name of Jesus and that we do not remain shy. Hear us as we sing as a pledge of our hearts right now and hear the repentance being made throughout this room. Lord, I pray you will pursue each one until they surrender to your good and loving Son. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.